Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. No matter how you celebrate the holidays, the season wouldn't be complete without music. The sounds of the season offer a special kind of magic, presenting us with opportunities to celebrate through meaningful songwriting, exquisite harmonies, and soulful instrumental performances, connecting diverse audiences while creating memories that can last a lifetime. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Happy to have listeners of the West Side along for the ride. Wisconsin is home to many talented musicians in a wide range of genres, some who call the Badger State their home and others who are well-known performers in the area. Randy Sabine is an acclaimed violinist, guitarist, and music educator who has been entertaining audiences and inspiring new generations of musicians for decades. Whether performing solo with his fiddlehead band or in another ensemble, his unique style blends the sounds of jazz, classical rock, and folk, as you are hearing right now, a song called Nutcracker Overture from his 2016 release, Meet Me Under the Mistletoe. Though his music is a joy to listen to all year long, experiencing it during the holiday season is especially uplifting. Today, we're fortunate to welcome Randy back to Route 51 to share his thoughts, his influences, and his music with us. Randy, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for thinking of me.
Randy, I have to wonder, when you set out on your musical path way back in the beginning, you were planning to be a drummer. What happened?
Well, I was taking drum lessons, and my drum teacher was also the orchestra director at the high school that I would attend in Rockford, Illinois. And he put a violin in my hands. He was basically trying to build up his string section in the orchestra, and he thought I might be a good candidate for the violin. So I just kind of went along with it. But, you know, basically, I wanted to be Ringo Starr in the Beatles, you know. So the violin was a huge detour. And it was a good detour, actually. I'm very happy that I ended up playing the violin instead of the drums, because I've seen these guys load their drums in and out of gigs. I said, oh, man, that is, I just carry my violin in, and it's been way too much work for me. So that's, I just gravitated towards figuring out how to play the music that I love to listen to on the violin.
All right. Well, I'm curious about your earliest influences, too. I mean, which artists resonated with you most?
Well, you know, I grew up listening to the radio, and I would listen to WLS, so I would hear the top hits of the day, and that could be anything from a Motown song to a Tom Jones tune to a Beatles song. You know, it was just a huge potpourri of whatever was, you know, coming through the airwaves, Beach Boys, and I wanted to be in on that scene, and I wanted to be in a band playing guitar or drums and, you know, singing to people that dance and rock and roll. Chuck Berry, you know, Johnny B. Goode, all that stuff. But there I was playing the violin. So I collected, you know, Allman Brothers, Beatles records, Grateful Dead, and I learned to play the guitar and the piano, you know, along the way to these things. And then eventually I started applying that music to the violin, basically starting with fiddle music. That was sort of my exit strategy from the orchestra. Let's play some fiddle music. So,
all right. Well, let's hear some music then from you. Okay, well, what would you like? What would you like to play first?
Well, speaking of fiddle music, I do a tune that Pat Donahue wrote. And I heard it off the Prairie Home Companion. He was on the house band, Guy's All Star Shoe Band, and it's a seasonal song. And what I like about this song is that you can sing it. You can start singing it in November. And continue it right on through into the first week of January. It's all about eating, and every holiday festival, no matter how you celebrate this time of year, eating is central.
And it's all about food.
Starts in November, and it just, for me, kind of goes year round. So anyway, this is Bulking Up for Winter. My clothes don't fit. I can't stand and I can't sit. Started in and I couldn't quit. I ate too much for dinner. I ate so much my pants are ripped. My snaps won't snap, my zips won't zip. I need a health club membership. I'm bulking up for winter. Pass the gravy, pass the rolls, pass the green bean casserole and the mashed potato bowl. Have mercy on a sinner. Turkey dressing, pumpkin pie, eat until you want to die. I'm just a North Wisconsin guy, walking up for winter. That I'm in pain. Blood is rushing from my brain. Think I'll sit and watch the game, and I don't care who's the winner. I ate so much my socks are tight, my shoes won't tie, my shorts ain't right. I couldn't eat another bite. I'm bulking up for winter. Pass the gravy, pass the rolls, pass the green bean casserole and the mashed potato bowl. Have mercy on a sinner. Turkey dressing, pumpkin pie, eat until you want to die. I'm just a North Wisconsin guy, walking up for winter.
Listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio, where we're featuring the music of Randy Sabine. That was Bulking Up for Winter, which I'm sure many of us can relate to this time of year. All of my favorites there. Well, you've been recording albums for a long time. I mean, your first album, In a Fog, was released on vinyl LP right. In 1983 by Flying Fish Records. Tell me what that process was like the first time that you recorded an album. Must have been a terrifying experience in a way.
Well, it was, you know, I grew up in the era, as a lot of us did, where, you know, there was a single that was a 45 RPM record with that big hole in the middle. And those were, you would collect those. And it was like, wow, that is so cool. I want to have one of those. And then albums became a thing. And I want to have my own record. I mean, artists, musicians are just driven to do that. And the time at that time, the way you had to do it was you had to have a deal with a record company, which is very difficult to do at that time. And by this time, I was now a jazz violinist, so I was going to put out a jazz record. It wasn't terrifying. It was very natural and, you know, just the hard part was, you know, getting a company to put it out. And I was able to convince Flying Fish Records to take a chance. And it did come out on vinyl in 1983. So I organized the musicians. I wrote all the tunes and the arrangements. I booked the studio. So I produced it myself and led my own group. And that was I was compelled to do it. And it was fun.
You said the word compelled a couple of times there, and that, I mean, that to me says that you are somehow driven to this music. You're drawn to this music in a way. When did you decide that music wasn't just a hobby for you, that, you know, just something that you enjoyed, but really your calling?
Well, it became kind of gradual over the years. I mean, I really, you know, back, like I said, in fourth grade, to be a drummer in a rock band. So I wanted to do that. And then it was just looking for my focus. What can I do? And it was discovering the music of Stefan Grappelli, the jazz violinist from France. When I heard that music, I said, okay, jazz violin. That's my calling. And then it was just follow the jazz violin road. You just got on the train and rode and did what needed to be done. It was was exciting, you know.
Well, I have to say this has been a very difficult year for so many people, and the holiday season is tough as it is for so many people. And you've got a lot of holiday songs. And what do you hope that people feel when they put on a record of yours and they hear your songs and your words, your parodies? What do you want them to feel?
I want their toes to tap. I want them to feel like getting out of the chair and dancing around and feel joy and laugh a little bit. I just want them to be happy and have fun and smile.
How do you get your ideas for these parody songs? They're so fun to listen to. How does that come to you?
You know, that is the great question. Is most of this stuff comes when you least expect it. It's very difficult for me to like sit down and try to come up with a song, try to come up with a concept, an idea. It usually comes from when I'm doing something completely different, you know, driving down the road, cooking a meal, listening to something, reading a book, play something on the guitar accidentally on the piano, a phrase will come into my mind. You know, you open your mind up and see what pops in.
You're listening to Randy Sabine, our guest today on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. As we head into a break, we'll share with you another clip, Meet Me Under the Mistletoe. Randy, tell us a little bit about this piece of music.
Well, here's an example of having a song arrive without trying to. I was actually involved in performing a holiday show in my hometown, Rockford, Illinois. It was called Hometown Holiday. And we were doing rehearsals and performances, and I just remember waking up in my motel room and this phrase, meet me under the mistletoe, just kind of drifted through my head as I was half asleep. And I thought, oh, that's a line for a song. And I laid there and just started fleshing out these lyrics in my head and imagining this scene. And I got a piece of paper and I wrote down a bunch of lyrics and then went back to sleep. So there it was. It was the seed of the song pretty much right there. So I guess I do my best work when I'm half asleep.
And there you have it. We'll hear a clip of that now. This is Meet Me Under the Mistletoe on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
If you crave that Christmas spirit, holly jolly, merry and bright, just look up at the ceiling, it's right there in plain sight. So grab a cup of eggnog, everything will be all right. If you meet me under the mistletoe tonight.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward, welcoming listeners of the West Side to today's program. Randy Sabine is our guest today, and the song you just heard is one that features Mary Louise Knutson. She's a Wausau native who has gone on to an award-winning career in jazz music. Randy, you're connected in some way with dozens upon dozens of musicians in our area, including Mary Louise, who we just heard. John Altenberg, who is a national recording artist. He's got a studio in Mosinee. And I know that you've performed many times at John's annual Christmas show at the Grand Theater in Wausau. What are the connections like between the musicians in this area? And I mean, how are those relationships nurtured?
Well, I moved to the Midwest from Boston when my first album came out in 1983. A lot of people would move to New York City, but I moved to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I thought that would be a good career move. And I wanted to travel alone, and I wanted to hook up with rhythm sections in the local towns where I played. So if I had a gig in Madison, I would pick up a Madison group. If I had a gig in Chicago, I'd put together a Chicago rhythm section, on and on. And so that was the economical way to do my career. And there are some fabulous musicians in Wisconsin. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So between the Twin Cities and Chicago, the talent is just off the charts.
Your holiday CD, Meet Me Under the Mistletoe, is one of my favorites. Are you still writing Christmas songs and parodies? Do you think there might be another holiday album in the future? Is that a possibility?
No. Oh, that's pretty blunt. Most of this music came about because every year I was in this holiday show in Rockford, my hometown holiday show, and I have to write new material every year. And so that's where this stuff came. And every year people would say, when are you going to put out a Christmas album? And I would say, oh, maybe I'll do it this year. But you have to do it in July. You've got to start recording if you want your record to be out by Christmas. For me, I think one holiday Christmas album is plenty. But never say never. If I ended up writing a bunch of material, maybe volume two.
Well, in the meantime, let's enjoy what you have done.
There we go.
Holiday themed. And I'd love to hear Green Christmas if you would play that for us.
Yeah, Green Christmas. This is for those of us who, you know, maybe you're a little tired of white Christmas. I'm tired of white Christmas. I'm growing weary of that sea. I don't think that I would ever miss this. I'm going someplace where it's green. I'm dreaming of warmer weather. I've had it up to here with ice and snow. I'd rather lay down in a field of heather with the temperature above and not below. Frosty the snowman can get along without me. The load will be much lighter in that one-horse open sleigh. I'm headed where the sun is shining. My bags are packed, I'm taking off today. I can't handle another year of freezing. I do believe I've more than paid my dues. I'd like to start my car without shivering and sneezing. Santa Claus is off to Santa Cruz. Now you can deck your halls any way your heart's desire. I really couldn't care less what you think. Please be thinking of me as you huddle around the fire. The only ice I'll see is in my drink. Sense to pick a nicer climate, wearing shorts and sandals all year long. Up here in Wisconsin, you've got to learn to time it. You know that half the world can't be wrong. Well, I don't care that much for snowmobiles and skating. My most sincere apologies to Bing. Just like the birds, I'm gonna start migrating. Merry Christmas, see you in the spring.
You're listening to Randy Sabine on Route 51, where he just performed the song Green Christmas. I think many of us can relate to that for sure.
You'll probably notice, all the attentive listeners, that I completely screwed up that guitar solo in the middle. So I want this to go out on the air and just say, you know, hey, I'm not perfect. There it is.
Sounded great to me.
You can play it over and over. Flub the guitar solo. Not the first time.
So you're also a music educator. Tell us about that.
When I discovered jazz on the violin, I heard that first Stephan Grappelli record. I wanted to become a jazz violinist, but I also thought at the same time, why did it take me so long to hear a jazz violinist? I was a freshman in college, and I'd been playing the violin for years, and I was even in my high school jazz band. No one ever said along the way, hey, listen to Stephan Grappelli. You know, maybe you would like jazz violin. No one had ever heard of it. It was too obscure. And it wasn't until I heard the Asleep at the Wheel band play in a tiny little club at the University of Illinois, where I was going to school, and talked to one of the fiddle players about this kind of swing fiddle that was happening, and he suggested the name Stefan Grappelli. So I thought I wanted to change string education, and so that string students would know about jazz violin. I became kind of a jazz string evangelist, beating the bandwagon, and I started going around all the schools in Wisconsin that had string programs and introducing the concepts of jazz and blues and improvisation and play recordings of Stefan Grappelli and others like Stuff Smith. And I also founded the string department at the Berklee College of Music in 1978. I had done that when I was 21. So I've written a couple of method books, Jazz Philharmonic for Strings. The Play Along CD on that was recorded at Lawrence with some of the local faculty members. And so I've just been for 40 years beating the drums for jazz string students so that people would decide to play the violin because they like to play jazz on it, you know.
Is jazz your favorite genre then, or is it kind of a toss-up for you?
I like variety, and I like blues-based material, so I like jazz that is swinging and has a foothold in the blues. I like straight-up blues like Muddy Waters. I like rock and roll, The Grateful Dead, Allman Brothers. I like singer-songwriters like James Taylor, Jackson Browne. I like Americana, fiddle music, folk music. I just, you know, I listen to a lot of music, and whatever, you know, somehow affects me, then that's what I like to play. So that's what I try to bring to my recordings and to my live shows, to variety. But it's all, you know, solo. I mean, it's all based in blues. Soul is the word I was trying to say. Soulful, bluesy, swinging, rocking rhythms. You know, if it's got that going on, then I'll play it.
Well, speaking of soul, one of my favorite songs that you play is Soul of a Man. So tell me about that.
That's written by a guitar player, Blind Willie Johnson, just him and his guitar. And this is an example of getting repertoire on a violin from, not from violin players, not from classical music, Mozart, but from a blues guitar player. So I transplanted that onto the violin. So maybe I'll grab my fiddle here and we'll play that for you.
Thank you. Standing talking, I climbed up just in time to see the doctor and the lawyer say a man ain't nothing but his mind. Well, I want somebody to tell me, answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me, brother, what is the soul of man? I want somebody to tell me, answer if you can. I want somebody to tell me, what is the soul of man? What is the soul of man? What is the soul of man?
That was Soul of a Man as we continue our conversation with Randy Sabine on Route 51. Today's world is so polarized. I feel like it's more polarized than ever in my lifetime. What do you think it is about music that erases that? It draws people together regardless of their background. What is it about music that can be so, just something that people can embrace together?
I think it reaches to our inner primitive soul. So when you hear something like this, or this, what is there to argue about there? I mean, it's just like, everybody would agree that that is connexus. You know, there's nothing to fight about there. There's no right or wrong there. It's not political. It's deep. It makes you forget these little issues and squabbles. I think that's what it is. I think it reaches to our primitive inner soul and wipes away the trivial nonsense. Gets right to the heart of the matter.
You spoke earlier about the connections you have with so many musicians, and I have to wonder, over the past year and a half when live performances were canceled, there were no festivals, there were no concerts, how difficult was it to motivate yourself to practice and play, try new things, and stay connected with those others that you share music with?
That was a very interesting situation. You know, one of the things I realized is that my social life was very dependent on going to a gig and seeing my friends, who are my colleague musicians, on stage. We'd meet for a rehearsal. We'd have a dinner together. We'd play music. We'd hang afterwards. And then I realized after a certain amount of time, geez, I don't see these people. And so I started calling people up on the phone and just like having conversations. I said, well, typically, we would be playing a gig around now. So how are you? You know, so that was right. That was one of the things to stay connected. This is the old-fashioned phone call. You know, I was lucky because I was on. I had already done so much with my career, and all my records had been out, and I've accomplished a lot. And I could have used a sabbatical. So it was kind of nice for me to not drive my car, and it was just very restful.
And so there were some positives.
And you know, it wasn't as bad for me as for other people.
So tell me about the song "I Got Flu." I was thinking about the COVID, and then you've got the song "I've Got Flu." So tell me about that song.
It's a parody, and I like to. That's one of my favorite styles of music to delve in, because the work is already done. It's like Weird Al. I mean, the song is already there. You just have to put some different lyrics to it. I started thinking about the James Brown song, I Feel Good. And I just said, I feel bad. I just turned it around in my head. I feel bad. Hey, that was that. And it's, you know, it's seasonal, because how many Christmases have you had where at least somebody in your family wasn't sick, you know? And it's not Christmas unless you're running to the bathroom, you know. It was just, even David Crosby almost cut my hair. Why? Well, maybe it was because I had the flu for Christmas. I mean, it's just a common thing. So here it is.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
I feel bad from the dinner I had. I feel bad. I must have caught it from my dad. So bad, so bad. I got flu. I feel sick, like I've been hit with a brick. I feel sick. I need a bathroom really quick. So sick, so sick, I got flu. When I held you in my arms, I didn't think it'd do any harm. And then I noticed you had swollen glands, and I forgot to wash my hands. I feel ill, I got the fever and the chill. I feel ill, I think you need another pill. So ill, so ill, I got flu. Well, I held you in my arms, I didn't think you'd do any harm. You said you felt a little bit off, and then you didn't cover your cough. I'm getting worse. I need a doctor and a nurse. I'm getting worse, but not quite ready for a hearse. I'm worse. It's getting worse. I got flu. So bad. So bad. I got flu. So ill. So ill, I got flu. Oh no.
You're listening to Randy Sabine, our guest today on Route 51. As we head into a short break, let's hear another clip. This one is Boogie Woogie Christmas on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You know all of the music you hear around Christmas. The carols that leave you so calm and so listless. But do you ever dream of Christmas colors other than white? And would you rather raise a ruckus than have a silent night? Then have a boogie-woogie Christmas and a rockin' in a really new year. Have a boogie-woogie Christmas and a rockin' in a really new year.
May your holidays be merry and bright. May the season be jolly and out of sight. Have a boogie-woogie Christmas and a rockin' and a really new year.
Back on Route 51, I'm Shereen Seward. Randy Sabine is our guest, sharing his music with us today, and you just heard Oh Christmas Tree. Randy, I listened to an interview that you gave to PBS. It was about 8 or 9 years ago, so it's a while ago. But in it, you talked about how our brains are wired to receive music. How are we wired in a way that we are attracted to and receive music?
Well, it's based on this research where they put electrodes on people's brains and musicians' brains. And what happens when we listen to music, what happens when we play music, what happens when we improvise, what happens when we're reading music. Every single part of our brain lights up. It's like a Christmas tree. It lights up emotional channels, nostalgic channels, speech, memory, right brain, left brain, coordination, every single part of your brain, if you're involved in music, performing it, it doesn't even have to be on a professional level. Just kids sitting at the piano, practicing, you know, listening to music, it stimulates every aspect of your brain. And I don't think there's really any other activity that does that much. I mean, certainly when you're doing, certain things, parts of your brain light up, but it's music that just makes it explode.
Well, the next song we'll hear is called Waltz Waltz. So tell us a bit about that.
Well, when I write a lot of instrumental music, and it's really hard to come up with titles for instrumental music. The old masters would call it, you know, their pieces, Opus 1, Opus 2, Concerto in D major, you know, but my material doesn't really lend itself to those kinds of titles. So it's difficult for me to come up with titles. But in this case, I had the title in my head first before I even wrote the tune. I knew it was going to be a waltz, and it was going to be for this guy I know, Walter. So it's Waltz Waltz. And
perfect.
You walk around with that in your head for a while, and you have to write the tune. So I finally wrote the little melody to go with Waltz Waltz.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Thank you.
That was Waltz, Waltz, music from Randy Sabin on Route 51 today. Thank you for sharing that with us. The pandemic, of course, everything shut down for the last 18 months, basically. But I know that live music and performances started to kind of creep back over the last few months. And I'm wondering, have you had an opportunity to play live since this all began?
Yeah, I was... I didn't do any public performing for about a year and 3 months. And then the Big Top Chautauqua up in Bayfield started up their season last summer. And I've been sort of an ad hoc member of their house band, the Blue Canvas Orchestra, over the decades. And this particular season, I ended up being in every single house show, playing violin and guitar. A lot of guitar and some mandolin, including a couple of new shows that they wrote. An Anishinaabe show written with the Red Cliff tribe, and Dear Earth show, a tribute to Gaylord Nelson. And it should have been on a year ago for the 50th anniversary of Earth Day. So it was in a couple of new shows, and I was in all the rehearsals and performances. So basically for 3 months, I had a full-time job up there. So that was kind of a shock to be on sabbatical for a year and 3 months, and then all of a sudden, almost more work than I could handle for 3 months. And then when their season closed and it just dropped back down, the fall has been kind of sparse. And so we'll see what the winter holds. But yeah, that was my big blast to get back on stage after the pandemic. It was great. I mean, it's a fabulous venue. I hope some of the listeners have been up there.
Oh, it sure is.
Canvas tent. It's just a gem for the state of Wisconsin.
Wonderful, wonderful performances up there. And it is just such a great venue. One of my favorites. What did it feel like when you were on this sabbatical, like you said, for this time, and you get up on the stage for the first time in all this time? What did that feel like to you?
Well, it's very exciting. I mean, we hadn't seen each other. All these musicians had been, we had done some things called the Tiny Tent Show on Friday nights, where we would record ourselves on our little iPhones and they would edit it together and do things. And the audience, they were just overjoyed. I mean, they were just, they were all cooped up. And so they were glad to get out and be able to come out. And so it was really exciting. Everyone was very upbeat.
You've played both guitar and violin for us here. Do you have a favorite?
Well, it's more fun to play the guitar and piano, especially when I'm by myself, because you got the chords and you can sing and you've got this full sounding thing. I like playing the violin because, a lot of people play the guitar, a lot of people play the piano, and there's people that play those instruments way better than I do. So I hire those people to play with me, and then I play the violin on it. And I enjoy the guitar and the piano. That's what I really gravitate towards. But the violin is the instrument that's, unique, sets me apart from other musicians. So
do those different instruments evoke different emotions for you as well?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, when I write material on the guitar and the piano, I come up with ideas. It's more like a laboratory to, create arrangements and work on voicings and kind of the nuts and bolts of music. But I think when it comes to emotion, I think the violin is the most emotional instrument because it's so similar to the human voice. It doesn't have frets. And so I can slide around on it. So it's a very good blues instrument. And I gravitate towards those blues tonalities. I think that's very emotional and soulful. And so the violin is more evocative, like that tune Waltz Waltz that I played and Soul of a Man. You can get some of those things on the guitar as well. Slide guitar actually would be in there. I think it's the sliding that really, really harkens to, it gets me emotional. So the violin is the emotional instrument, and the guitar and the piano are the fun instruments and sort of laboratory.
Well, let's hear some of the fun instrument then. What would you like to play for us next?
Well, this is, it's a Beatles song, Paul McCartney. I don't know if you've been watching the Get Back.
Yes, film. Yes.
So I've been immersed in that. I watched the whole thing, binged three nights in a row on that. So here's a Paul McCartney song that I rewrote to be a holiday tune. Yesterday, Christmas still seems several weeks away. Now my relatives are here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not halfway where I'm supposed to be. Scrooge's shadow's hanging over me. Oh, Christmas Day comes suddenly. Why she had me go to the mall, she would not say. I've stood in line so long, I've been here since yesterday. I bought the children several games to play. Now I just need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe yesterday. Why I had to go through the snow, I cannot say. I did something wrong, now I'm stuck on this highway. Yesterday, Christmas still seems several days away. Now the children have returned to stay. Oh, I believe yesterday. I wish New Year's was yesterday.
That's Randy Sabine, our musical guest today on Route 51 with his version of Yesterday. Very funny. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think it's just one of those songs that just makes me laugh every time I hear it. So
I hope Paul McCartney doesn't hear it. I'll probably get a "You've ruined my song."
Oh, boy. I think he would appreciate it. So, well, I guess before we close, I guess I'd like to ask you, what are you most looking forward to in the coming year?
I would like people to be coming together to think about someone other than yourself and lighten up a little bit and be nice to each other and considerate. That would be very cool.
Great advice indeed. That's all we have time for today on Route 51 as we leave you with one final selection, Russian Sailor Dance from Randy Sabine, our guest. I'm Shireen Seward, offering a heartfelt thanks to you, Randy, for being here today. Our producer is Joy Ratch Kramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at wpr.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll learn more about Native American storytelling during the winter solstice. Until then, we're headed out of town.